Do you want to do half an hour instead of 45 minutes?
You can, no, you can do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I want you to see this group. Everybody is ready for you. You can talk as long as you want. They're going to love it.
Sitting on the edges of their chair.
Just speak up.
Thank you.
Just speak up.
I can speak up.
All
right. We're good on speaking up. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm delighted to be here tonight. Thank you all for inviting me. What I'm planning to do, Sissy gave me a list of what you all kind of had in mind. It's an incredibly diverse list, and I'll cover as much as I can. I'll start with just a little bit, and I'll try to make it a very little bit of my background, because it's inspiring, because I was an agriculture major at the University of Kentucky. I have a BS in animal science, and that pretty much sums it up. But I was director of promotions for a bookstore in Kentucky a number of years ago that became the largest in the state. While I was director of promotions, there was big burnout there, of course, after 5 years. I was just, because it's the nature of the job. So I ended up going to a writing workshop. Are y'all familiar with Natalie Goldberg?
Yes.
Natalie Goldberg is, I'll just tell you very briefly, lots of show and tells here, but Natalie Goldberg has written a book. She's written many books, but one of her best known and loved is called Writing Down the Bones.
Yeah.
And the subtitle of that is Freeing the Writer Within. And it's what I teach all of my classes. At every class I teach, it will be that method, because it gets rid of the self-critic when you're writing. And y'all may not have an issue with the self-critic. However, I think everybody that writes has an issue with the self-critic. But so I went to a Writing Down the Bones workshop in Taos, came back. I actually spoke with Natalie about, she kept saying to us, don't quit your day job to be a writer, because it's just so much fun getting out in the desert and just writing and writing and writing. But I spoke with her and she said, you're ready. And I was ready. So I quit my job, and my first job was writing book reviews for the Lexington, Kentucky Herald Leader, because I had become friends with the book editor, and he said, the minute you quit, I want you. And so the first book that I reviewed was Tom Clancy's The Sum of All Fears. About this, I made about a nickel an hour on that. But I got the book. But I did that, and then as those book reviews kept going out, then a number of other businesses in the area saw my writing and asked if I'd be interested in writing for them, which was really a fun thing to do. And actually, I do want to say this. I was looking around when I was in the bookstore. I kept looking around and seeing all these books going through, and I thought, you know, I've written all my life, and I think I can write better than some of these. So that's what inspired me to just go ahead and give it a shot. So I did the big jump off. And I said to myself, if I can make this work, wonderful, but within 6 months to a year, if it's not working, I'll go back to corporate. And that was, it's been almost 30 years now, and I'm still eating, so it worked pretty well, I think. And as I go along, if you have any questions, just give me a shout. Let's see, I ended up going to a writing workshop when I was doing book reviews. And it was how to write for the freelance market, how to write for magazine market. And it turns out that the woman who gave the workshop and I connected, we're both horse freaks, and so we love horses. And so we started talking about horses. And she said, well, what's your job? And I said, well, I'm writing book reviews for the Lexington Herald Leader, and I'm a freelance writer. And she said, would you be interested in doing any travel writing? Who wouldn't? And so I said, yes, I'd like to do that. And so she introduced me to her publisher. And this is a company called Group Travel Leader, Inc. They're going great guns. They're based in Lexington, Kentucky. But they publish probably now 8 to 10 trade travel publications. You all know what trade publications. Yeah, they're trade travel publications that go to leaders of group tours, et cetera. And so I gave them samples of my writing. The publisher liked it. He said, would you be available in 2 weeks to go to the Washington, D.C., Arlington, Virginia area and research everything you can for senior motor coach tours, places to stay, restaurants, attractions, and come back and write a 10,000-word story for us? I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. A, I had no idea how to do it, and B, I didn't know that 10,000 words was 40 pages. You know, it's long, and so I ended up, I got a little tape recorder, I tape recorded every single thing on the whole trip, which, you know, you got to transcribe it. And so I made no money on that one either, but I learned how to do it in the seat of the pants travel writing school. And things have gotten a lot better since then, but I'm still writing for those two publications, among many others, or have through the years. Let's see. Currently, I'm writing my first novel. It's called One to Go, an equine thriller. Used to gallop horses on the racetrack, so it's based on the racetrack. And it's just, I have to say, novel. You're talking about a novel. This is my first novel. And it's just really fun. I mean, the time just goes like this. It's great. And then I'm also crafting a memoir about my mother's last 5 years on the earth, which is humorous and poignant. It's called Anne, Queen of the Wing Chair. So those are my current big projects. But in the meantime, I do freelance writing, and I teach, and I coach, and it's just a lot of fun. I just love all of the aspects of writing. I want to live another, however many years. I would love to just live to be about 170 and keep on doing this. All right, I'm going to address your specific questions now, and then again, anytime you have questions as I go along, just shout them out, and then we will have a question and answer at the end as well. Okay, go. How to make your writing better? That's the first topic, and don't we all want to know about that? And I have to go immediately to Natalie Goldberg again, Writing Down the Bones. This is an absolutely wonderful book. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't experienced the writing practice, you're in for a real treat, because it's about writing practice as timed writing. The instructor gives a prompt, gives the writer 10 minutes, and then go and you write for 10 minutes. But during that 10-minute period, you don't have to worry about spelling, punctuation, or grammar. Isn't that fun? You can't go back and cross out. You just have to keep your hand moving forward across the page. You write and write and write. You focus on description. You focus on sensory input. And you just never know what's going to come. It is so much fun, I have to tell you. Because what happens is your hand is moving so fast, trying to keep up with your brain, because the self-critic is not in there saying, oh, that's not going to work. No, nobody's going to want to read this crap. I mean, it happens to me. I've been a freelance writer for years, and I'll sit down to write a monthly column, which I've been writing for 20 years for a business publication. It's a travel column. And I'll get halfway through, and the self-critic will say, nobody's going to want to read this. I mean, this is a bunch of trash. And I literally, from time to time, will stop and do a writing practice, because it just kicks you back in. But I can't recommend this enough. And also, just for those of you who are writing memoir, this is Natalie Goldberg's book on memoir. It's called Old Friend from Far Away, The Practice of Writing Memoir. And just the introduction is fabulous to this book. But if you're ever interested, this is a wonderful book on memoir. And it also includes writing practices. The introduction tells about why to write memoir, and the rest of the book is writing practices of all different lengths. This is a chapter, and it's a writing practice. It's a prompt. Thank you very much. So I cannot recommend that book enough. It's just really a fun book by Natalie Goldberg. Okay. The second thing that you can do, you can join or form a writer's group that gets together to write and read on a regular basis, which you've already done. Here you are. But a working group, not a social group, a general critique. I've been 14 years. I've been in a writing group in Beaufort for 14 years. It's called the Low Country Writers Workshop. And Stephanie Edwards, I don't know if you know her, but Stephanie Edwards is an incredible writer. She's just published her first novel. She lives in Beaufort. But she started this writer's group 15 years ago. And we're getting more and more people. It's not nearly as big as you all are. And different numbers of people come. We meet twice a month. But the critique in it is so good, because everyone is a serious writer. Everyone's working on a larger project. And so it behooves all of us to come in and give our good critiques, because we get them back. It's a wonderful group. But I can't tell you the value of that enough. And I'm just learning about your group. I didn't realize that you had several aspects to it. So it's like this group covers everything, and it sounds, I've heard really good things about this group. So congratulations on being in it. Okay, then attend writing workshops. I mean, this is the obvious, but a few of the best from my experience. Natalie Goldberg, of course. She's in Taos, and she actually came to the Sophia Institute in Charleston about 3 or 4 years ago, and she wants to come back. So you can go on her website and find out where her workshops are, but I cannot recommend them enough. I mean, it changed my whole career. You know, I became a writer because I went to her workshop. Another one that's really good, and I'll go through a few of these. I've got a resources, 2018 resources for writers, for the Island Writers Network, which I'll go through, and it has some of these. I'll go through in just a minute, but it has some of these on it. Book Passages Bookstore, have y'all ever heard of that? It's in Corte Madera, California, just north of San Francisco. I went to that workshop when I first became a travel writer. They have really well-known, really highly respected workshops all year long. I went to a travel writer's Book Passages, okay. And this is in your resources.
Okay.
This, and how to contact them. Go on their website. This was a travel writing workshop. Now I think they have travel and photography workshop. But the travel writing workshop part of it was just a crackerjack, and you can send some work ahead of time, and if you make the cut, I ended up doing that, and I was in a workshop with John Flynn, who was at that time the travel editor for the San Francisco Examiner. It's the best pieces of information I've ever gotten. I lunched with Bill Bryson, who was the featured speaker, just really down to earth guy, but very focused, very good workshops. Another one that I really liked a lot is International Women Writers Guild workshop. They have a yearly workshop. They have lots of little workshops, but it's based in New York City. Okay, and so now that we're here, let's just go through the resources list. This is what I passed out. It's the white staple sheet, and I'll go through this briefly, hitting on the high spots. This is something that I've honed in the last probably 10 or 15 years, and if I do say so, it's a pretty nice resource list. The first one is Chicken Soup for the Soul. You know the books, Chicken Soup for the Soul? They're still looking for stories. Did you know that? They're still cranking these books out. I don't know how they do it, but they do. And all you have to do is go on their website. They want new writers. They're looking for new writers. I don't know who it is, but there's a woman in Bluffton who a couple of years ago was selected. Her story was selected. I think they pay maybe $250, but how cool would it be to be in a Chicken Soup? So what you do is you go to their website, and they reach out and take you by the hand and lead you through because they want your story. They have probably 5 or 6 maybe different topics. I don't know how often they change, but you'll go to their website, they'll have different topics, say, my favorite teacher, or thanks mom, or pets, or something. They'll have different subjects, and so each subject will have a different deadline. You submit your story. Again, it's very easy to do, and then when that deadline comes, they take all the stories that they have received, and they look over them, and if they're enough to make a book, they make a book of it. That's how it works. So you can't go wrong. I mean, if you're interested in that type of writing, that's a really good resource. Freelancewriting.com, just as it sounds, that's kind of a fun website. Funds for Writers. Do you all know about Funds for Writers? You need to. This is one of my favorite websites. Funds for Writers is run by a woman named C. Hope Clark. She's in Chapin, South Carolina. And this website has been up and running for 18 years, and she's been on Writer's Digest 101 Best Websites for Writers annual listing for 17 of those 18 years. And the first year she wasn't because they didn't know who she was. This is totally about how to make money as a writer. Funds, F-U-N-D-S, for writers, that's what it's about. It's wonderful. It's a bi-monthly online newsletter filled with freelance writing markets, writing competitions, grants, jobs, publishers, agents, etc. It's all about how to make money with your writing. There's a free version and an inexpensive expanded subscription version. And there'll be like 3 markets. There'll be 3 grants. There'll be 3 retreats on the free version. On the expanded version, there are just tons of all of those things. It's just an incredible resource. There's a wonderful editorial. C. Hope Clark herself, I think, has just published her fourth book in a mystery series. She's a wonderful writer. She worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture all of her life, and then when she retired, she'd always wanted to do something like this, but she didn't know how to make money writing. So she did all the research for this, and this is a super website. And you sign up for free, just go to the website and you can sign up and they'll send you. Get on her list. Do you all know about Good Search? It's just a search engine like Google, but every time you use it, a little tiny bit of money goes to your favorite charity, and there are, I think, 100 plus listed, and you just pick up the one you want, and then I use it all the time. I always use Good Search because I like to donate to my charity. And because I'm a freelance writer, I use it all the time. So it's kind of nice to see how much money you can make for your charity. It's pretty cool. Poets and Writers Magazine is, they're two big magazines, as you probably know, the Writer's Digest and Poets and Writers. Poets and Writers Magazine is very in-depth. The stories are a lot longer than Writer's Digest. There's a lot of practical information, but it's a great resource for articles by writers about the process, their tips for publishing and promoting your own work, lists of writing contests, writers' residencies, retreats, workshops, and literary places, MFA programs, writing jobs, grants, and awards, a lot. There's a whole lot of information there. And the articles are absolutely fascinating. If you have a little reading time and you want to read stories about writers by writers, this is a good place to go. Query Tracker. Query Tracker is all about query letters with examples. You can organize and track your queries free. You can find literary agents, find what editors and publishers want. There's reams of information on Query Tracker. All you have to do is go and sign up, and then you can keep all of your, if you're doing magazine writing, you can keep your all of your magazine queries or even your book queries in order. It's a wonderful resource. Does that make sense? Check them out if you're submitting. This is really cool. Science Fiction Fantasy Writers of America's Writers Beware. You don't have to be a fantasy or a sci-fi writer to use this. What they do is they vet all of the contests because there's so many contests. Now, that's another thing about Funds for Writers, Hope Clark's website. She vets everything, so you know the contests on there are above the line. They're great. But there's so many contests, and some just want your money, and you never hear from them. Oh, I'm sorry you didn't win. Oh, thank you for sending in $25. So this Sci-Fi and Fantasy Writers of America do this research for us, and it's fantastic. All you have to do is go on their website. This tells how to do it. And so if there's a contest you're interested in, which is a great way to get your work out there, if there's a contest you're interested in, just go to this website and check it out, and you'll know whether it's the real deal or not. Winning Writers is pretty cool, too. They have four annual contests, and they're completely above the line, and they give away a lot of money. Unfortunately, the Wurgle Flomp Humor Poetry Contest is just over. I think April the 1st was their deadline, but you know, $2,200 in prizes. You know, it's pretty nice. That's a really good website to go to find some contests. We'll skip Worldwide Freelance Writer. It's just what it says. It's very good. Writer's Digest. Are y'all familiar with the magazine Writer's Digest? That's the magazine that's probably the best how to write publication and market source. They have writing experts blogs, your story competition, also the 101 best sites for writers, and now they have 23 best podcasts for writers. I mean, it can just drive you nuts. There's so much information there, but it's really, really a great resource and also a website. Writer's Market. Are y'all familiar with Writer's Market? Is everybody familiar with this? This is an unbelievable publication. It's published annually with thousands of markets for magazines. There's some book publishers in here as well. They're trade publications, and they're all separated into whatever their focus happens to be. In the front, the gem, one of the many gems in this publication, is in the front. There are fabulous how to do it. Well, here's one by C. Hope Clark. She has a story on Funds for Writers 101. She tells you this is the 2017. This is published each year, and I don't have the 2018 for this one yet. You can buy the in-hand copy once you purchase it. That's what it is. I mean, once it's published, that's everything for 2017 or 2018. However, you can subscribe for $10 more. This is $30 every year. It never goes up. For an extra $10, you can get this plus the online version, which is updated constantly. But it tells about, it's not every magazine that possible, but many, many magazines go ahead and put their information in because they're looking for freelance writers. It tells what percentage of the magazine is freelance written, the person to contact, what they're looking for, how much they pay. It's just, there's tons of information. And you can, if you're interested in this, you can look in the library because your library will have copies of this. I don't know if you're able to check it out. You can in Beaufort. But it's wonderful. And then the stories in the front are absolutely priceless. How to write a query letter. You know, how to write on the road. Let's see, how to find success in the magazine world. But the real gem in here is how to know how much to charge. If you are, how much should I charge? There are tables with pretty much every possible job for writers that there can be, and suggestions on how much to charge. And they have high, low, average per hour per project, etc. I was asked to write a corporate history several years ago, and I hadn't a clue. So I went into this and found out, and it was fine with them. There's also the novel and short story writer's market. This is the 2018 version. And afterwards, feel free to come up and look through any of these you want. Okay, any questions about the writer's market? It's just, if you're interested in getting published in the magazine world, that's a very, very good resource.
Does the writers and short story market include literary agents?
I don't think it does. And actually, I've never had one before, and I just contest and awards book publishers. I don't think magazines, literary agents, yes, it does. Yes, it does. I would guess that it might be a complete list. It's a pretty fat section, so yes, it does. And then again, in the front, there are lots of stories that can help with your selling your book and your brand. It's just business basics, how to successfully submit your novels and short stories. Wonderful resource. Okay, and then Writers Weekly. Now, the next section is how to do what you do even better. These are references. These are book sources that have valuable how-tos. The AP Style Book or Chicago Manual of Style, if you're going to be writing for the magazine market, you will need to use one of those. Most of the magazines I work for use the AP, but you'll just need to find out, and you can always get it out of the library if you need it. And of course, the Elements of Style by Strunk and White and a good dictionary and thesaurus. But then these other books are all just really wonderful. They are. Eat, Shoots, and Leaves. Are you familiar with this? Oh, man, it's hysterical. This is done by a British woman, and it's all about the zero-tolerance approach to punctuation, which as a writer for a long time, I just get real picky about punctuation, real picky about it. And like it's, I-T-S or I-T-apostrophe-S, I want to kill people that use it wrong. And it's used wrong all the time. I mean, on huge billboards, it's like, no, take that out or put that in. I know, it's the writer thing. Definitely write a thing. But all of these are just terrific references. The one that I want to talk about, I've already talked about Writing Down the Bones, but it's Stephen King's on writing. I hope you're familiar with this. I have a story about this because I started my novel a few years ago and I'd finished the first chapter, which I loved. It was wonderful. It's my baby. 8 pages of this wonderful description. It starts in Camden, South Carolina, at the Carolina Cup, because it's a steeplechase and racetrack book. And so I had the whole paddock with azaleas blooming and everyone in tweeds and the ladies were wearing their spring dresses and lovely, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So I took it to my writers group, this wonderful writers group that I've been in for a long time. And they were so nice, but they all said, it's too long. You need to take a lot of this out. I wanted to grab my laptop and run. I really did. It's the first time that I'd ever encountered that sort of critique. And I thought, oh, no, they can't do this to my child. So I let myself grump for about 3 days. And then I picked this book back up. And I read, the first half is about Stephen King and his journey and why he writes the way he does. He's just a terrific writer. I didn't read that. Reread that. I read the second half, which is how to write. And he talks about it's how to write short, it's how to get tight, it's how to put your best writing out in as few words as possible. And so I reread that. And so I remember it was St. Patty's Day night, and it was storming, pouring rain, and so I poured myself a cup of tea, lit the fire, took the first three sentences of my first chapter, put them in a new document, and rewrote the whole thing in 2.5 pages. And it's good. It's tight. And it was accepted as a standalone short story for Short Story America, having done that. So this is something good. And even John Gresham says this is the best book on writing there is. You know, and he would know for sure. But that's one of those resources. Then dropping down courses, conferences, and workshops. The Pat Conroy Literary Center, you know about that, hopefully. But here's the website. They're just an absolute gem. And on here are a few of their big events that are coming up and the dates. You know about the Bluffton Book Festival. There's the date for this year. Book Passage Bookstore is the one that I mentioned. These are some of their workshop dates. International Women Writers Guild, I mentioned. It's an amazing writers network based in New York City that's been around for 42 years. They used to meet at Saratoga, in Saratoga Springs, New York, at Skidmore. Which is when I went. They have moved it. It's in. I can't remember where it is now, but it's. You can find it on their website. But they had literally, I think there were 105 different workshops in a week. Wow. And you just the very first night, each workshop leader had 2 minutes to tell about their workshop, and then the next one would come, and next one, next one. It's just a real gem, and men can go too, actually. Then the Savannah Book Festival, you probably know about that. South Carolina Writers Association is now the Pawleys Island Writers Conference. And then there are Writers Online Workshops presented by Writers Digest. And I have never taken one, but I know a whole lot of people who have. Stephanie Edwards, whom I mentioned, who has the wonderful writers group in Beaufort, has taken many of their workshops, and they're very, very good. And then here are just a couple of resources for business cards. Moo.com and Vistaprint. So that is my resource list. Any questions about that at all, about the resources? Just enjoy, because you can rock and roll through that one. Okay, how to make your writing better. Make writing a habit on whatever regular basis works for you. Just do it. This is not my quote, but put butt glue in your chair and sit on it. And I have to do that as a freelance writer. I do. I mean, you know, there'll be a deadline coming up, and I want to go kayaking. Thank you very much. So instead, I have to get the butt glue bottle and pour it in the chair and say, no, we got to do this first. But it's just make it a habit, and it's you can really crank out a lot that way. And then the last thing, be prepared to sell yourself and your work. Be able to answer the question, why should you be the best person to write the story? That's very, very important. As a writer, you have to be able to have that amount of confidence in what you write. And if it's hard for you, just work on it. You know, practice with other writers. But it's really important to be able to do that. Okay, next is being prepared for criticism. The editing process from a writer's perspective. If you want to be published, you must be open to constructive criticism. Yes, ma'am?
Do you have a handout on that?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
I do not.
Yeah.
It's pretty self-explanatory, but it just, you need to be open to constructive criticism from editors. The first time that I submitted a story, I've been writing nonfiction my entire career, but I had this story, really weird story. It's fantasy, and I had been working on it. I'd workshopped it in writer's workshop off and on for many years. And I thought, you know, I like this story. So I submitted it to Short Story America, and Tim Johnston, who's head of that, liked it. But he wanted to make some changes in the ending. Okay, here comes the baby again. And so he told me what the changes were, and the story's so much better because of it. And you have the choice. I mean, you can say, no, I want it the way it is, and find somebody else, hopefully. Or you can just say, okay, you know, that's the way it is. You know, it's like, well, on a different level, but say a book that's made into a movie. You know, that's got to be tough. Because rarely, in my estimation, does the movie live up to the book. I mean, it does happen.
Yeah.
So, and then editing. Self-editing, no one has the capacity to self-edit. You cannot self-edit your own work. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much experience you have. You can't do it. It's really hard. You know what should be there, and that's what you see. That's what happens. So if you ever have to self-edit, because sometimes you might go on a deadline and have to do that, I mean, the ideal is to read it to someone or let someone read it. But if you're on a deadline and you can't do that, read it out loud. Number one, read it bottom to top. I mean, word, 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 word. Because that way you're going to catch things. Mm-hmm. It's still very hard to do. And you will find in books by Random House, they're mistakes. I used to be a professional proofreader. Oh, Lord, that was the worst job I've ever had. But I'm a very good proofreader because of that. And they're, even the big boys have mistakes too. But you want to submit the cleanest copies you can. Okay, submitting to publications, writer's guidelines. That's another thing that Writer's Market has, writer's guidelines. Every magazine has guidelines as to what they want from a writer. And you can either find it in Writer's Market or on their website. And also part of that will be whom to contact. Before you submit to a magazine, always call, because things change so quickly in magazine publication that one week there could be an editor here who's now an editor of a different publication. So always call before you submit, just to make sure whom to send it to. The query letter. If you're going to submit, you have to query. Do you all know about query letters? You know what they are. This, I don't need to go over this. This is the art of the query. It's really good information. You have it. But I will say a couple of things. Number four on the art of the query. Make a template to use for every query. This was not mine. It was an instructor I had a long time ago, and it's really good. The first paragraph, this is the first paragraph, the lead designed to catch the editor's eye. Paragraph two, why write it? What's the story's appeal? Why should they take it? Paragraph three, the nuts and bolts, who you're going to interview, suggested word count, etc. Any sidebars. And paragraph four, tooting your horn, why should you write this story? And now with all of that said, one page. A query should be not more than one page. And if you can't get it in one page, try harder. It really, one page is all. And you're lucky if you have to keep their interest all the way down. Your first sentence is the most important thing. You have to have a query letter with a first sentence that sucks the editor in or the reader in. It's like it's a story. You know, you want to suck the reader in with the first sentence. It's the same thing with an editor. Many of them get hundreds of queries every week, so you want yours to stand out. So the first sentence is...
Can you remember any of those first sentences?
Oh, gosh. Probably. Let me think about that. I can tell you somebody else's.
Okay.
It's one of my favorites. I've used it in my travel writing classes all the time. This was in, I think, Condé Nast, Traveler. And the first sentence is, if I ran the world, there would be no leaf blowers. And I agree with that. And then it went from there. But it's like, what? And then you read on and then he's talking about... Actually, it's a wonderful travel story about quiet places to travel.
Yeah.
And this is how he starts it. And then he has the... He finally says, now I'm going to talk about places you can go and not hear anything. You can hear a pin drop. But that's, yeah, I wish I could remember some of mine, but yeah, not right offhand. All righty, and then the very last rejection. That comes with the territory, and you have to know it comes with the territory of writing. If you want to write a lot and want to be published a lot, you will have rejections. Okay, this tells what to do with the inevitable rejections, and you can read that yourself. But what I'm going to say to you is when you submit to a publication of any kind and they say no, all it means is, it doesn't mean you're a crummy writer, all it means is on that particular day, that particular story does not fit what they're looking for. And who knows, you know, maybe if you send it back to a different editor, they'd say, oh yes, that's fine. But that's exactly it. So that's why Query Tracker is important, because it's important for you if you want to be a freelance writer, if you want to submit to magazines, you have to keep your stories out there. And when one comes back, just send it back out to somebody else. It's not personal. And if you can get to that point, it's helpful. There's a wonderful poet named Nikki Finney. She is now at University of South Carolina, Columbia. She has a chair there because about 3 years ago, a book of her poetry called Head Off and Split, that's how to prepare a fish for market, Head Off and Split, won the National Book Award for Poetry. And I took a workshop from her years ago back in Kentucky. And I remember she said, and she's been at this for a long time, she said that every time she got a rejection, she put it on her studio wall where she could see it, and she would say to the rejection, you just wait, you just wait. Work for her. Really well, here you are. But yeah, you can't let rejection pull you down, because it's there is a market out there for your work, always, always. Okay. And this, what happens post-submission? And this is kind of brief, but here it is. Many publications will tell you how long before you can expect a yes or no. With email submissions, and thank goodness, most publications want email. But there's still a few that want snail mail. Charleston Magazine, until recently, I don't know if they still do or not, wanted only snail mail. But with email submissions, 3 weeks should do unless otherwise stated. If you don't hear within that time, send a gentle email reminder. Just want to make sure you receive my query about, and then the title and the subject and the date you sent it in. Submit several stories to several publications at a time to keep you from wondering and worrying. Okay, that said, multiple submissions, submitting the same story to different publications. You can do that. And most magazines will say in Writer's Market or Writer's Guidelines whether they allow that or not. If they do allow it, that's wonderful, because you can do that. However, the caveat is, okay, let's say you sent a story to Charleston Magazine and to National Geographic. So Charleston Magazine calls you and says, we love this story. We want this story. And you say, great. And then National Geographic calls. And you have to say, gosh, I'm really sorry I sold that, wada, wada, wada. You're off their list forever. So think about it if you're going to do that. If they're publications that are sort of the same caliber and you don't really care, it's fine to do that. But I would kind of be a little bit hesitant. I just had a really interesting experience. I wrote a story last year. It's a Memorial Day story about a guy that I grew up with who was in the Vietnam War and was killed there. And it's a Memorial Day story about the Kentucky Vietnam Vets Memorial. And it's a lovely, poignant story. And so I submitted it to one Kentucky publication last year. I submitted it too late. I knew that was going to happen. I submitted it in February, and it was for May. 6 months ahead is really a good idea if you're going to submit for a specific, like a holiday, that sort of thing. But the magazine that I submitted it to is called Kentucky Living, and they've published me a whole lot, but she said, I'm really sorry we can't do that, but we'll put you in our online version. I said, okay. She said, you have to realize you would have made more money if it had gone in the magazine. I said, well, all right. So they did that. So it was on their online version. Well, I had also submitted it to another Kentucky publication. They said, oh, it's just too late. But could we keep it till next year? And I said, well, sure. You know, and if it doesn't get published, that would be great. Well, I just heard from the editor of Kentucky Monthly, which is the publication number two, about a week ago, and they want to publish it in May for their Memorial Day story, and they're paying full price for it. And so I said, you have to know it was in Kentucky Living's online edition, and she said, well, let me talk to the publisher, and she did, and it was fine with them, so it's going to go in. So that story has now been published twice. It's fun. Anytime you can resurrect something or just rework it a little bit, do it. It's a great way to make a little money. Crafting, ooh, we just did that. No, crafting stories for publication. If you have a story that's anxious to be told, simply write it first and then find a market. It'll flow more easily that way rather than thinking, okay, I want to write for this magazine. What's their target market? Write your story and then find a market for it. And again, go to Writer's Market, look at the stories in front to help guide you. Success stories. I do want to do that. I'll make this very brief. Several of my students have it just warms my heart when students can be successful. I'll just talk about one of them, Nell Smith. Nell Smith lives in Beaufort. Her husband was Charles Frazier's right-hand PR man in the development Hilton Head. So she raised her kids on Hilton Head when there was nothing here. 4 years ago, she took a class of mine at Tech College of the Lowcountry, memoir class. And her stories were incredible. I mean, she just said, she's 86. But her stories, I mean, she was only 82 then. But her stories are just wonderful stories. And it's people want to know about this. And so I encouraged her. And so I coached her some. She came for some coaching classes with me. And the stories kept coming and coming and coming. And her daughter has saved lots of pictures and newspaper clippings. And so with the Heritage, RBC Heritage coming up, her husband started that. And so she submitted to two different publishers, and Chapel Hill Press said yes, and this book just came out. It's called Paradise Memories of Hilton Head in the Early Days. This is an 86-year-old woman. Now, you would not know it if you met Nell. She's pistol. But you just never know. I mean, you may think that your story, who wants to hear my story? Well, Natalie Goldberg says, if you have a story to tell about your childhood, if you think your childhood has just been normal, please write that, because the rest of us want to know what that's been like. I don't know what a normal childhood is. I have no clue. And then Wes Grady, I think he may have been in Island Writers Network at one point, but Wes was one of my students. He's a really good photographer. He retired, but he's gotten into photography. And he was in, this was the, actually the same, no, it was a travel writing class. And he wanted to go to, he wanted to write about NASCAR. He didn't know a whole lot about it, but he was very interested in NASCAR. And so he queried Dude, the publication Dude magazine, which is local. They had just started. And so Wes queried them and said that he would like to go to Darlington and write a story on, it's like a beginner's guide to NASCAR. But he needed press credentials to do that. He's a great photographer. So they said yes, and he ended up writing 4 or 5 different stories for them, and he had press creds for Darlington. He had a blast. He did that for a long time. So you just never know. You do not know till you ask who might take what. Okay, and this is the last chunk. I have a writer's group that meets in my home on the 2nd and 4th Wednesdays of every month. It's a small critique group. There are 8 of us, and we're called the Sea Island Spirit Writers. We, for the last 3 years, have run a contest in Lowcountry Weekly. That's our contest. And it's a short story contest. And we'll put a prompt in the paper and then ask for submissions. And I know, has anybody in here entered? I know Mac has. Yes, all right. Keep on entering whatever you do. We like to give money to writers. It's so much fun to give money to writers. That's why we started it. Let's find a way for writers to make money. But I do want to tell you this. You don't have a handout on it, and if you want to, write these down, because I got these tips from Tim Johnston of Short Story America. When we ran this contest the first time, I said, okay, Tim, what are we going to be looking for in short stories? So here it is. A short story is a narrative of interrelated events. You don't have to write this down unless you want to, involving a conflict and a resolution. Let me read that again. A short story is a narrative of interrelated events involving a conflict and a resolution, which you probably know. Here's what to look for in a good one. A clear beginning, middle, and end. It's really important to have those three parts of a short story. It has to have those. And again, number two, attention-grabbing beginning. You want to suck the reader in. Whatever the prompt happens to be, you want to suck the reader in. And the prompt, you don't necessarily have to start the story with the prompt. I don't know if anybody, some people did, some people didn't. You don't have to. Number three, the protagonist or the main character has a goal to achieve, and he does it through an engaging plot and storyline. Okay, the protagonist, the main character, has a goal to achieve. He does it through an engaging plot and storyline. Number four, there must be action and tension. There has to be. There have to be those things. And then, number five, conflict. In other words, obstacles and or setbacks before the protagonist can reach the goal. It can't be just a little story. I mean, it can be a little story, but it needs to have all these things. Next, it has to have a turning point in which the protagonist confronts the obstacle or setback. It has to have that point. A turning point in which the protagonist confronts the obstacle or setback. It must have satisfying resolution to tie up any loose ends and answer any unresolved questions. Satisfying resolution to tie up any loose ends and answer any unresolved questions. The reader needs to know those things. And that doesn't mean that the ending can't leave you hanging, because there are really good endings that can do that. That's different. But it has to be a resolution for the loose ends. Because you don't want to come up I read a book the other day and I was so disappointed because it was a mystery and it was really good all the way through, and then the last chapter was just an information dump. And it was so disappointing. It's like, well, yes, if I'd known that, you know, I could figure that out. So you don't want to do that. Must have an engaging storyline and character developed only to the extent required in the story. That's a short story. You don't have to go crazy developing a character or your characters. Just enough that's going to make the storyline work. That's it. All right, there it is. We've been tap dancing here. I'm sorry, I went so fast, but I wanted to get it all in.
Can I ask a question? What was number four?
Number four was action and tension. Mm-hmm. Any more questions on that particular thing? Or any questions about anything? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
You just said that was a contest you were talking about?
Yes. Sorry, Absolutely, yeah. So sorry. I just assume, everybody knows. This is a story a contest that is run every year in the Lowcountry Weekly. Are you familiar with that? It's a Beaufort publication. But I think that the website is lcweekly.com. I'm 99% sure it's lcweekly.com. It's one of those free publications you can pick up, probably not here, but in Beaufort, just on the stands. It's I love it. It's the Lowcountry Weekly, and it's published every other week.
It's on the island, too.
It's on the island? Good, good, good. But we usually announce the contest in late July. And it's called the Sea Island Spirit Writers Short Story Contest. We partner with Lowcountry Weekly. They're wonderful to do this. And then you send your entries in to them. And then when the contest is over, which is usually, I think we may have pushed it to the end of September last year. It's mid to end of September. So you have about at least a month, maybe almost 2 months, to get your short stories in. And we've been making it 750 words. Yep, which is a challenge. And we may continue to do that because, A, it take a long time to read them if they're much longer than that. But it's a challenge to get all of this into a short story, but it's certainly done. And Mac was one of our, you were fourth, actually. You were runner-up last year. Congratulations.
Thank you. And
Anatole. Anatole won it.
He's one of our members.
Yeah, our player was.
Did you hear that story? Did you hear his story?
Yeah. I think, I don't believe I heard.
Did you read that story, Matt?
I read the closer.
No, you wrote the closer, but did you read Anatole's story?
Yeah, that was fun.
Good heavens.
Yeah,
it was.
And he had that great accent, too.
I'd love to hear him read it. I didn't hear him read it. Yeah, very unusual story it was.
It's a wonderful contest.
Yeah, it is, it is. And the more the merrier, the more people that enter, the more money we can give away. It's great.
The entry fee is
$10. $10. It's $10. Yeah, it is, it is. And you can enter as many times as you want to. And it's not, you know, if you live in Washington State, you can still enter it. We open. We were doing it locally at first, and then we figured, you know, we could give away more money if we didn't.
Do you have any idea how many entries you got?
Yeah, we got last year. I think we got 28.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you read the winners? Were they published anywhere?
Low Country Weekly.
In Low Country Weekly.
Mm-hmm. And they come out. They came out right before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. They only publish one issue in November, because of the Thanksgiving holiday, so they have a big issue early in November, and that's where it will be. And the three top stories, the first, second, and third place, are published in Low Country Weekly, so you can read them, you know, and see what they are. Perhaps it can be yours.
So what can we find out? When will the new contest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can find it online. It will be, we usually try to get it in by mid to late July, so that's when you need to look for it. It won't be any later than that, because we want to make sure, you know, many people can enter and that there's plenty of time to write it.
Okay. That's announced in Low Country Weekly?
Yes. It's in Low Country Weekly. Absolutely. Are there any questions about anything that you heard tonight? And if you're interested, my cards are here. Like I said, I'm a writing coach. If you need any help with your writing, feel free. Or any questions at all, feel free to take a card and you can email me. All right, thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
I used to teach creative writing, and Natalie Goldberg's book was the one book that I had my students read.
Did you read that?
Yeah.